Hi everyone, it's Kevin. Today is Thursday, March 28th, and this past November, on the 23rd, we marked 50 years since Electric Boat attained the property formerly known as the Quonset Point Naval Air Station. And today on the podcast, I'm joined by Ray Gabriel, VP of Quonset Point Operations, to talk about the history of Quonset Point and how the men and women of Electric Boat have transformed this site into what I think is the model of modular shipbuilding for our nation. So, Ray, welcome to the podcast. Let's start talking a little bit about how QP came into being.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Back in 1971, Electric Boat down in Groton was looking to expand its capabilities and facilities. And the Naval Air Station up here in Quonset had recently closed, and the road Island governor at the time, Philip Noel, was looking for a new tenant. Just so happens that some EB management, Henry Nardone and Joe Pierce, the general manager at the time, mentioned EB was looking to expand to the governor, and lo and behold, we struck a deal, and it took about 2 years. So in November of 1973, the facility we now know as Quonset was born.
Yeah, and it's coming an enormous long way here. And so when we talk to some of the folks who were here at the beginning, it's always interesting to hear some of those first impressions. And the facility started to ramp up in early 74, building the Ohio class. And it was really kind of a shoestring operation at that time, with only 8 employees and a couple of managers. I'm not sure what the supervisor ratio was in. Sounds a little low. And also equipment scrounged from all the government and World War II surplus depots we could find across the world to really start to set Quonset up into a manufacturing hub.
Yeah, I think historically, there's a learning curve, and from what we've been told, it wasn't until about 1977 that the facility did get some 20th century equipment. Couple that with, we took some knowledge, believe it or not, from German submarine building techniques in World War II to try to get some mass production philosophy in the facility. Like anything else, it was a challenge in implementing it because, frankly, up until that time period, there really wasn't a submarine program big enough to require mass production techniques to be utilized. Well, just like today, in early 1970s, with both the Los Angeles-class attack submarine and the Ohio-class ballistic missile submarine coming together and being built simultaneously, the circumstances were such that mass production techniques could be utilized.
Yeah, and it's really changed pretty dramatically from stick building to where we are today. So let's talk a little bit about how that began, what some of those major changes in mass production were.
Yeah, and I think, fundamentally, we look at two things that we still do today. We have the introduction of workstations and construction or module teams, rather than having, expensive skilled laborers kind of just muddled around looking for their tools and collecting parts for jobs that might be assigned. And also, hey, the concept of material being brought to the work centers and the workstations so the workers stood ready to use them and continue to build.
Yeah, and so some of those parallels exist, today in the way we're configured even. And also an interesting parallel, I think, from a time in terms of assembling a workforce here at Quonset Point. Back then, because the Naval Air Station had just shut down, there was a pretty educated and available workforce, which included some sheet metal workers, machinists, and electricians. But those folks needed to be converted from building aircraft or repairing aircraft to building submarines, which we all know is a very different skill set. So let's talk a little bit about how that transformation happened.
Yeah, I think, and this is to your point on previous podcasts, it starts with really the front end. At that time, construction drawings for a submarine, which could literally number in the hundreds or even thousands, were complex and unfamiliar to these type of workers, that were operating in an air station or an aircraft mechanic type of a discipline. So, the solution was to create a booklet of drawings, if you would, for each particular task. Flip the pages and build a ship. And really, that's how work packages came into being, which formed the predecessor for today's computer-aided drawing and work instructions.
So as time goes on, the momentum and efficiencies at QP began to grow, and by 1975, Quonset became Electric Boat's principal center for hull fabrication, subassemblies, and other large components. And the first Ohio module was shipped to Groton that year. It's always interesting to see some of those early hull cylinders coming effectively, not even outfitted. Let's talk a little bit about how that progressed over time.
Yeah, I think if you really look at the inflection point of Quonset, it occurred in November of 1978. This is when Quonset Point began construction, what is now the AFC, or Automated Frame and Cylinder Manufacturing Facility, that was completed in 79. Some have called this the most significant breakthrough in submarine technology since EB's development of the welded submarine hull. The automated frame and cylinder building allowed hull sections to be built much more quickly and efficiently, and included the ability to top load components and end load components as well in fully outfitted decks that are slid into these hull cylinders. Essentially, this is where modular construction was was born. The facility continued to expand, and technical developments continued through the 1980s and into the 90s. The site marked the first piece of steel cut for the Seawolf class, Jimmy Carter, in 1995. And just a year later was when we started work on the Virginia class in 1996. Fast forward that almost 20 years later, and the first piece of steel was cut for the District of Columbia in 2016.
And here we are today now building, from what was essentially relatively empty hull cylinders to I think the pinnacle of outfitting, where we're greater than high 90% complete coming out of Quonset Point, with a lot more manufacturing, a lot more outfitting taking place than ever before, and to good effect. When I think of Quonset Point, I think a lot about how this place really set the tone for what modular construction for submarines is around the world, and really a leader from the very beginning in terms of how we fixture the technology that we bring to bear and adapt to supporting manufacturing. And the men and women here who have supported that over the last 50 years have been a tremendous part of that history. So, Ray, you've been in the job now a couple of years. Let's talk about what you've observed, and tell me a little bit about your perspective from the long line of distinguished shipbuilders that have come through Quonset Point.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that. And I think over my 2 years, what we've been able to do at Quonset is again restore and cultivate what has made Quonset successful over the last 50 years, and that is a team centered on the mission, which is simply to fabricate and deliver complete modules to final assembly and test, both in Groton and Newport News. And simply put, I couldn't be prouder of all levels of management and departments and individual contributors here at Quonset. The director team has really collaborated together to try to drive facility level improvements in productivity and safety. And it's a credit to them and the manager team, who number almost 65 managers on the facility, to be able to drive over what is now 7,000 people in the common mission of building modules or supporting those who build the modules. But I think, and I'll speak for the directors and managers, what we're most impressed by is those leaders and mechanics that form our most fundamental unit here at Quonset, which is the crew, the operations crew. And, they have been able to grow to a level that you see in all the metrics, high level and down to the most fundamentals that they use to assess their performance. You know, that has always been the key here, is supporting that crew and making sure that they have what they need to build these modules. And like myself, like I say, hey, I'm the facility vice president, I'm the vice president of ops, so I am fundamentally in an operations support role. So I would be remiss if I didn't recognize, you know, the over 2,000 folks that are here at Quonset now supporting the operations departments and allowing Quonset Point to accelerate production and achieve some of the performance that we need and will need more of in the coming years.
You know, this place is just steep with a lot of history, a lot of tradition, and a lot of greatness. There's a lot of proud shipbuilders that come through Quonset Point every day. And I've heard some of the mentors that have trained me over time call Quonset Point the crown jewel of General Dynamics. And I think about that often when I come here, and I agree with it. I think what the people do here is special. And I think what it takes to go develop and deliver modules from this facility today, especially with some of the youngest workforce that we've ever had, both our frontline leaders and our workers, doing it safely and of the requisite quality speaks volumes, I think, about the leadership team here and how everybody is committed to the mission. So, Ray, I want to say thanks for joining me on the walk down memory lane today. Congratulations to all of our QP shipbuilders on our 50th anniversary and for the pivotal role you play in submarine construction and in the securing of our nation. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk again soon.